several tables. In the case of the Battle Creek Sanitarium, this step was taken in 1898, largely in response to counsel from Mrs. Whitespan appearing in this chapter 722. At the St. Helena Sanitarium, the change took place in 1903. By this time, education in the matter of ethylene diet had spread widely, and flesh was left out of the dietary of the guests with less difficulty than if it had been excluded at an earlier date. It was a joy to the managers of the older institutions to know that in the new plants opened at about this time, flesh food was not served to the patients. CD 405.2 The Council on the Subject of Flesh Meat is not complete without the picture of the struggle for its NONUSE in our institutions as brought to view in several communications from Mrs. White, and the instruction urging a progressive reform in diet. It is essential that the reader keep these facts and the time of writing of the several statements in mind as he gives study to this phase of the flesh meat question. Compilers.CD 405.3 Appeals for a non-flesh diet in our early medical institutions 1884 Letter 3, 1884 720. I had arisen this morning at 4 o'clock to write you a few lines. I had been thinking much of late how the 406 institution over which you preside could be made all God would have it, and I have a few thoughts to suggest. CD 405.4 We have health reformers, seeking to come back, as far as possible, to the Lord's original plan of temperance. Temperance does not consist merely in abstaining from intoxicating liquors and tobacco, it extends farther than this. It must regulate what we eat. CD 406.1 You are all acquainted with the light upon the subject of health reform. But when I visit the retreat, I see that there is a very marked departure from health reform on the matter of meat eating, and I am convinced that there must be a change, and at once. Your diet is largely composed of meat. God is not leading in this direction. The enemy is seeking to establish the diet question upon a wrong basis by leading those in charge of the institution to accommodate the diet to the appetite of the patients. CD 406.2 When the Lord led the children of Israel from Egypt, He purposed to establish them in Canaan a pure, happy, healthy people. Let us study the plan of God, and see how this was accomplished. He restricted their diet. To a large degree, He took flesh food from them. But they anchored after the flesh thoughts of Egypt, and God gave them flesh, and with it the sure result. CD 406.3 The health retreat was established at a great cost to treat the sick without drugs. It should be conducted on hygienic principles. Drug medications should be worked away from as fast as possible, until entirely discarded. Education should be given on proper diet, dress, and exercise. Not only should our own people be educated, but those who have not received the light upon health reform should be taught how to live healthfully, according to God's order. But if we have no standard in this respect ourselves, what is the need of going to such large expense to establish a health institute? Where does the reform come in? CD 406.4 I cannot admit that we are moving in God's order. We must have a different order of things, or give up the name health retreat, for it is wholly inappropriate. The Lord has shown me that the health institute must not be molded 407 to meet the appetite or any person's ideas. I am aware that the excuse for the meat eating allowed in the institution has been that the pleasure seekers who come are not pleased with any other diet. Then let them go where they can obtain the diet they wish. When the institution cannot be conducted, even for guests, according to right principles, then let it drop the name it has assumed. But the excuse that has been urged does not now exist, for outside patronage is very small. CD 406.5 A positive injury is done to the system by continuous meat eating. There is no excuse for it but a depraved, perverted appetite. You may ask, would you do away entirely with meat eating? I answer, it will eventually come to this, but we are not prepared for this step just now. Meat eating will eventually be done away. The flesh of animals will no longer compose a part of our diet, and we shall look upon a butcher's shop with disgust. CD 407.1 We have built up from that which we eat. Shall we strengthen the animal passions by eating animal food? In the place of educating the taste to love this gross diet, it is high time that we were educating ourselves to subsist upon fruits, grains, and vegetables. This is the work of all who are connected with our institutions. Use less and less meat, until it is not used at all. If meat is discarded, if the taste is not educated in that direction, if liking for fruits and grains is encouraged, it will soon be as God in the beginning designed it should be. No meat will be used by His people. CD 407.2 When meat is not used as it has been, you will learn a more correct way of cooking, and will be able to supply the place of meat with something else. Many healthful dishes can be prepared which are free from grease and from the flesh of dead animals. A variety of simple dishes, perfectly healthful and nourishing, may be provided, aside from meat. Hardy men must lack plenty of vegetables, fruits, and grains. Occasionally some meat may have to be given to outsiders who have so educated their taste that they think that unless they have meat, they cannot keep up their strength. But they will have greater powers of endurance if they abstain from meat than if they subsist largely upon it. 408 CD 407.3 The principal objection with physicians and helpers at the health retreat to discarding a meat diet is that they want meat, and then plead they must have meat. Therefore, they encourage its use. But God does not want those who come to the health retreat educated to live on a flesh diet. By parlor talks and by example, educate in the other direction. This will call for great skill in the preparation of wholesome food. More labor will be required, but nevertheless, it must gradually be done. Use less meat. Let those who do the cooking and those who bear the responsibility educate their own tastes and habits of eating in accordance with the laws of health. CD 408.1 We have been going back to Egypt rather than on to Canaan. Shall we not reverse the order of things? Shall we not act plain, wholesome food on our tables? Shall we not dispense with hot biscuits, which only cause dyspepsia? Those who elevate the standard as nearly as they can to the order of God, according to the light God has given them through His Word and the testimonies of His Spirit, will not change their course of action to meet the wishes of their friends or relatives, be they one or two or host, who are living contrary to God's wise arrangement. If we move from principle in these things, if we observe strict rules of diet, if as Christians we educate our tastes after God's plan, we shall exert an influence which will meet the mind of God. The question is, are we willing to be true health reformers? CD 408.2 It is essential that continuous sameness in diet be avoided. The appetite will be much better if changes in the food are made. Be uniform. Do not have several kinds of food on the table at one meal, and no variety the next. Study economy in this line. Let people complain if they will. Let them find fault if there is not enough to suit them. The Israelites always complained of Moses and of God. It is your duty to maintain the standard of health reform. More can be accomplished for sick people by regulating their diet than by all the baths that can be given them. CD 408.3 Let the same amount of money expended for meat be used to purchase fruit. Show the people a right way of living. Had this been done from the first at the institution 409 the Lord would have been pleased, and would have approved the effort. CD 408.4 Care and skill should be used in the preparation of food. I hope that Dr. will fill the position assigned her, that she will counsel with the cook, so that the food placed on the tables at the health retreat may be in accordance with health reform. Because one is inclined to indulge his appetite, he must not argue that this is the way to live, he must not by his course of action seek to mold the institution to suit his tastes and practices. Those who bear the responsibility of the institution should frequently counsel together. They should move in perfect harmony. CD 409.1 Do not, I beg of you, argue that meat eating must be right, because this one or that one, who is a slave to appetite, has said that he could not live at the health retreat without meat. Subsisting on the flesh of dead animals is a gross way of living, and as a people, we should be working a change, a reform. Teaching the people that there are healthful preparations of food that will give them more strength, and better preserve their health, than meat. CB 409.2. The sin of this age is gluttony in eating and drinking. Indulgence of appetite is the god which many worship. Those who are connected with the health institutes should set a right example in these things. They should move conscientiously in the fear of God, and not be controlled by a perverted taste. They should be thoroughly enlightened in regard to the principles of health reform, and under all circumstances should stand under its banner. CB 409.3. I hope, Dr. that you will learn more and more how to cook healthfully. Provide an abundance of good, wholesome food. Do not practice economy in this direction. Restrict your meat bills, but eat plenty of good fruit and vegetables, and then you will enjoy seeing the hearty appetites with which all will partake of your preparations. Never feel that good, hygienic food that is eaten is lost. It will make blood and muscle, and give strength for daily duties. Cooking of flesh food not to be taught in our schools. -817. Meat eating physicians not to be employed in our sanitariums. 433-410. CB 409.4. Letter 2, 1884-721. I have been thinking much of the Health Institute at __. Many thoughts crowd into my mind, and I wish to express some of them to you. CB 410.1. I have been calling to mind the light God has given me, and through me to you, on health reform. Have you carefully and prayerfully sought to understand the will of God in these matters? The excuse has been, that the outsiders would have a meat diet, but even if they had some meat, I know that with care and skill, dishes could be prepared to take the place of meat in a large degree, and in a short time they could be educated to let the flesh of dead animals alone. But if one performs the cooking whose main dependence is meat, she can and will encourage meat eating, and the depraved appetite will frame every excuse for this kind of diet. CB 410.2. When I saw how matters were going, that if __ had not meat to cook, she knew not what to provide as a substitute, and that meat was the principal article of diet, I felt that there must be a change at once. There may be consumptives who demand meat, but let them have it in their own rooms, and do not tempt the already perverted appetite of those who should not eat it. You may think you cannot work without meat. I thought so once, but I know that in his original plan, God did not provide for the flesh of dead animals to compose the diet for a man. It is a gross, perverted taste that will accept such food. Then the fact that meat is largely diseased, should lead us to make strenuous efforts to discontinue its use entirely. My position now is to let meat altogether alone. It will be hard for some to do this, as hard as for the rum drinker to forsake his dram, but they will be better for the change. CB 410.3. Meeting the issue squarely. Letter 59, 1898-722. The sanitarium is doing good work. We had just come to the point of the vexed meat question. Should not those who come to the sanitarium have meat on their tables, and be instructed to leave it off gradually? Years ago the 411 light was given me that the position should not be taken positively to discard all meat, because in some cases it was better than the desserts, and dishes composed of sweets. These are sure to create disturbances. It is the variety and mixture of meat, vegetables, fruit, wines, tea, coffee, sweet cakes, and rich pies that ruin the stomach, and place human beings in a position where they become invalids with all the disagreeable effects of sickness upon the disposition. CB 410.4. I present the word of the Lord God of Israel. Because of transgression, the curse of God has come upon the earth itself, and upon the cattle, and upon all flesh. Human beings are suffering the result of their own course of action in departing from the commandments of God. The beasts also suffer under the curse. CB 411.1. Meat eating should not come into the prescription for any invalids from any physicians from among those who understand these things. Disease in cattle is making meat eating a dangerous matter. The Lord's curse is upon the earth, upon man, upon beasts, upon the fish in the sea, and as transgression becomes almost universal, the curse will be permitted to become as broad and as deep as the transgression. disease is contracted by the use of meat. The diseased flesh of these dead carcasses is sold in the marketplaces, and disease among men is the sure result. CD 411.2 The Lord would bring His people into a position where they will not touch or taste the flesh of dead animals. Then let not these things be prescribed by any physicians who have a knowledge of the truth for this time. There is no safety in the eating of the flesh of dead animals, and in a short time the milk of the cows will also be excluded from the diet of God's commandment-keeping people. In a short time it will not be safe to use anything that comes from the animal creation. Those who take God at His word, and obey His commandments with the whole heart, will be blessed. He will be their shield of protection. But the Lord will not be trifled with. Distrust, disobedience, alienation from God's will and way, will place the sinner in a position where the Lord cannot give him His divine favor. 412 CD 411.3 Again.